Well, Katrina, we're well into October. We're in coughs, colds and flu season, and I just as much a victim of this as everybody else, which is hardly surprising because, you know, Kat was saying, well, how did you get that? What happened to you? You know, and I'm kind of like, I'm living in a soup of microorganisms with, you know, everything exposed to everything. There are reasons why I might have, she's quite right, there's reasons why I might be a bit under-resilienced into my immune system, because my book is about to be launched, which involves, you know, new team of people to work with, figuring out how to get the book into my hands, all the last minute preparing the manuscript, indexing it, working with the publisher, all of that. So a new situation and new challenges, because the topic of the book is very challenging. It challenged many of my preconceptions and my sacred cows, even, you know, those things that you felt were beliefs that were, you know, kind of set in, right? That's my belief. And I'm going, oh, well, it's not anymore, because it's been challenged and opened. It's been a long journey. So it's also kind of a stress. It's kind of delivering the baby, you know, and how is the baby going to be received? And will I be able to deal with all of the challenges that brings? Because it's really bringing hearts and minds and beliefs and what we're prepared to be open about and what we're prepared to collaborate with. It's in a tone which is an and and but that's not very well received in the current media, which is very adversarial. So I'll need to have all my wits about me. So my immune system decided that enough was enough. And this came on very quickly, over 24 hours. Often I have my poker tell for viral infections is a tickle in the soft palate and a sneezy feeling in my nose, not always amounting to a sneeze, but that kind of sensation. And within 8 hours, that was it. I knew it was go to bedtime. All right, I'm going to tell you a story now, right? The story is the one behind many people ask me, how did I come to, they see it as a change from medicine to herbal medicine. And I repeatedly say, it's not, it's all the same medicine. They're just two different kit bags. And, you know, what happened to convince, and why do I use herbal medicine? The answer to the second question is because they work. How do you know they work? What's the evidence? And here's my story for the evidence, my personal story for the evidence. I'm not somebody who was sick when I started using herbal medicine. I didn't, you know, kind of get frustrated with the medical system, not find a solution, and then look for herbal medicine after, you know, wandering around in the wilderness for a while. And that it was the herbal medicine that rescued me. I have many patients that is their story. That's a very, very valid story, but it wasn't mine. I went into it in, you know, kind of very healthy, except for having chest infections every couple of years, and then like 2 out of 3 years, and then just about every year. And each episode was increasingly medicalized, right? It was going from, you know, kind of just antibiotics to antibiotics and preventive inhalers for wheeze and acute inhalers for wheeze, to eventually one and maybe a second course of antibiotics and a course of steroids. And I was like, I don't like this. But once I'm not sick, I forget I was ever sick. So this wasn't part of my, you know, kind of mindset when I started exploring herbal medicine. That was much more so because I was a gardener and because I was frustrated for my patients. You know, doctors never think of themselves as patients when they're well, right? So it came to it that I got the bronchitis, and kind of last minute I kind of thought, I'll see if this stuff works. skeptic incorporated here. So I was training in herbal medicine, and I got them to make up. I told them what was wrong. They made up a bottle for me, told me, you know, all the other things that I'm going to tell you now. So I will share all these. There's no secrets in here. And I took to my bed. I had realized the initial incident for this was a viral bronchitis when I was in my GP trainee year, my mid-30s. And I ended up in hospital because I completely neglected it. And my GP trainer said, I don't like the sound of that cough after 6 weeks. Sent me off to get an X-ray, and they sent me straight from X-ray department into the hospital bed. Right. I don't get sick. And when I do it fairly well. I'm quite good at it once I do it. So it was after that, and the consultant gave me no antibiotics. It was gentle physio and bed rest, right? So following that, I did have the sense when I got these infections to go to bed, right? So you all now know the first treatment for bronchitis. This is more than a cold. This is when it goes down and you're coughing and people are going, oh my God, right? That's it, go to bed, right? Anybody who is on antibiotics should be in bed. The first treatment before you take antibiotics is to go to bed, all right? So they kitted me out with all the things that I'm going to share with you, and I started doing all the things that I was learning for self-empowerment in the course. I was so pleasantly surprised by the outcome. I went to bed for 4 or 5 days, got up, felt well, and there was no aftermath of post-antibiotic and post-infection lethargy, brain fog, just low energy, struggling to get through the day. It was like the biggest thing I noticed was when I was sick, I was sick, and when I was well, I was well. And that's been my history ever since. That was 25 years ago. I have never needed an antibiotic since. About every 3 years, it goes past the point of deferring it, putting it off. Now, when I get that tickle in the throat, and even if it's 4 o'clock in the morning and a cough, which is like, don't like that, I'm up and taking the medicines, the vitamin C, the whatever that I'm all going to show you. Now, the vast majority of the time, I would say 8 out of 10 times, I do that for 2 days, carry on with my life, have an early night, drink plenty of fluids, take all of these things that are, like, I would use the herb tea, the herbal blend, and it would be kind of like, I don't know whether that was going to develop into a chest infection, but I'm feeling fine, right? This time it came on very suddenly. There was no kind of 24, 48 hours of tickly throat. It just kind of within 8 hours, I got up in the morning and I thought, not feeling that, and a little bit of a cough, started taking the medicines. But by the evening, I realized, go to bed. So my patients now know that if I'm not with them and have to not turn up at clinic, I'm in bed. I'm not, you know, kind of, I'm not sick, and I take being sick seriously, all right? Because that's what the body needs. The body is entertaining viruses, and it needs the resilience and the warmth and the care to, in order to manage it, all of the things that it means to do. It's very hard work fighting off viruses. So you need to give your body all of the opportunities to do that. So the answer to Kat's question is, you know, often there are things where you realized, oh, that was pushing the boat out a bit far. That was whatever. Sometimes you're, you know, a teacher in a school, in a class where all the children are coughing in your face. And despite all the usual hygiene things that we've learned during COVID, which we learned from my granny, coughs and sneezes spread diseases, of covering your mouth with your elbow, washing your hands, you know, doing all of that. These viruses have always been around. They always will be. We live with them. I was just thinking the other day that by the time we die, there are more microbe DNA in our system than there are the DNA that we were born with. Right. So we gradually host all of these. Many of them help us absorb vitamins and minerals, and right, we've co-evolved with them, right? So they're not add-ons, they're actually essential, you know, to our well-being. And in my book, it uncovers the whole dichotomy between the germ theory and the personal resilience theory and the environment, you know, because that was a big change in the path of how we think about the natural world. But the other thing that, because Kat was asking me how I was, and I said, well, I was sick. And she said, oh, you poor thing. And I said, well, it's normal to be sick. And I said, yeah, if if you're in a class or a roster or a choir or anything, a group of people, just ask how many of you have never been sick and how many people are going to put their hands on. It is normal to be sick, okay? And it's the body's way of telling you something. It's the body's way of saying withdraw. It also led me to think about the kind of world that we live in, the urban, industrial, technical environment where work is, we're not in control of our environment. We don't have sovereignty over our health or our time because we have to go to work. We have to get the children from school. I realize now how lucky I am to have not to have those responsibilities currently. I will say in my defense, not that I need to be defended, but I will say that even when I had children who needed to go to school, this was arrangements were made, right? And it may have been that for the first day, the children didn't go to school because mommy needed to go to bed, right? It's a balance. And if mommy doesn't look after herself, the whole show falls apart, all right? This is where we need friends, community, and which is very relevant to today's world where often people don't have relatives living nearby, don't know their neighbours. Are we slaves to an economy that doesn't allow us to be sick without any support? It's a bit sobering, isn't it?
That is very sobering.
We might have fridges and like might be easier in many ways, but in other ways, things were easier in less complicated times. And I think anybody who knows me knows that I am not one for nostalgia and the good old days that everything was wonderful back in the day. It wasn't. It really, really wasn't. It was very cold and bleak and corporal punishment and children not being listened to. And things were not easy. But it's not like people didn't have resilience and resources and good fun and company and get. So again, it's the and but. And, you know, let's just try and make the best positivity about what we can, and let's get talking to our neighbours, and let's, you know, put energy into our communities and have fun, because one of the best things for our immune system is having fun. All right, okay. So now that I'm better, the first thing I did was went to a Cayley and met lots of nice people last night. So yeah, that's what I mean. When you feel better, you feel better. So a lot of these things you'd have in your own cupboard. And because this is my vulnerability, some of these things you might not have in your cupboard because chest infections aren't the particular ailment that affects your family, or they do many families. These are specifically in my cupboard. I've put in, so we'll start with things that are likely to be in your cupboard. If you're Irish, you know, you're likely to have, or especially in the west of Ireland, you're likely to have carrageen. Carrageen is our native seaweed, which is demulcent, antimicrobial, full of iodine and other minerals. I'm on the wrong side of the, oh no, it's on both sides. So I boil up the carrageen. I put in grated fresh ginger and also a good spoonful of turmeric. I also put in elder berries and I sweeten it with a little bit of cherry syrup. But you can do anything you want with it. You can put cloves in there, nutmeg, any kind of flavour. Hibiscus is really, really nice and rich in vitamin C, rose hips. So this is kind of like the beginner, right? Along with the turmeric. So this is very nourishing and protective. It also soothes the digestion. When you have an infection, you want your digestion to be nice and comfortable. And just eat what you feel like. You know, often you don't feel like eating a huge amount, so small amounts frequently. I will say I was very partial to toast over the last week. Toast with nice butter and honey. Okay. Along with protein.
So for me, who might have the odd bit in the cupboard, just maybe just go through it again and just explain to, you know, maybe if there's, do you put in like a full cap?
A good two tablespoons. Right, two big pinches. And then a third of this ginger, right? Eight. But it's entirely to taste.
No,
you know,
just a taste.
This is just put in. This is the carrageen. This is the one we have in the clinic. And you just put in two big pinches of this and about that much of the ginger. But that's not one of the nice things about herbal medicine is that because these are nourishing, soothing, whatever, people often know themselves. If you put in half the packet, you might find it's too distasteful or the texture isn't right. So you adjust that for you. That's what I do, you know, and that's kind of like an average amount. And then I reboil that several times, you know, to extract all the goodness from it. So that's a good tip. Yeah. And then I throw it away and start again. You might very well might get an elderberry tea, and you can buy elderberry syrup as a cough bottle. But I would encourage you to get the elderberries because they are a very expensive way of buying them. Okay. And harvest them. I actually used up my whole harvest. There was a wonderful harvest of berries this year, but nearly everywhere the birds got them. And I went to stay in a cottage in County Clare, and there they were all hanging on the tree. They were lovely. So, yeah. But in the last week, I've nearly used all of that.
Yeah.
All right. So this is a pot to boil on the kitchen hob. And then in my teapot, a whole variety of things. The elderberries. Elderberries, proven benefits for viral illness. Right, for antiviral effects. Hyssop, which is very good for cough. I get this very heavy spasmodic cough. And the other one is yarrow, which is very good for dispersing heat, okay? But it's also very good for toning, right? And it's good for the digestion as well. So the classic viral tea, which we sell all blended together as boost tea, have elderberries, elderflowers, peppermint and yarrow.
Lovely.
All right. So, but I harvested a whole amount of oregano or marjoram. So they were thrown in as well. And they're very good because that's specifically antibacterial. And the sage is very good, particularly for throat infections. So I would gargle that a little bit if I had that one in the tea. So it was a mixture of things throughout the week, whatever came to hand, whatever I thought, oh, you haven't had that one for a while. So they were all mixed. There's no one rigid formula.
Yeah.
The universal one is the elderflower, peppermint and yarrow. That's the kind of herb. I went to a herb fair in Sarajevo. And they had their flu tea, herbal cold flu tea. And there it was, elderflower, yarrow and peppermint. I like the berries as well. So that's why I've put the berries in. So then we have honey and lemon, right? Now you can add the honey and lemon to your tea.
Yes.
You can add honey and lemon to your carrageen, right? What's the important thing? That you get the honey and lemon into your belly.
Yes.
All right. That you get the elderberries and the carrageen and the yarrow into your belly. So whatever way you have of doing that. Now I make a big pot of tea and that's it. Back to bed with a big pot of tea. Take my tincture medicine, big pot of tea, off to bed. Get up when I feel hungry enough to have a bit of toast with a bit of honey on it. Eggs as well seemed to be, and chicken. You know, they were the three things I think that kind of kept me going. Now, the minute the anything hits the system where I go, uh-oh, you know, I'm in trouble, that's it, vitamin C. And whatever vitamin C you have, now there's a tolerance level of vitamin C. For me, it's 3 grams. If I take 4 grams a day, I have soft, runny stools, over mushy stools. And that shows me that I've gone above saturation or I've reached saturation. There's no above saturation once it's saturated. So that to me would be 3 grams. If you want to test your saturation point, do it when you're not sick. Because that way you can start with 1 gram a day, no problem. 2 grams a day, mushy stews, that's your saturation level. If you go up to 3 grams a day, that's usually enough to saturate most people. Some people go up to 4 or 5 grams a day. But these would be just temporary measures while you're not well, right? 5 grams a day, don't go any more than that. It's not going to do any good. You're just somebody who has saturated vitamin C levels, but you don't get the mushy stools, but you don't need any more than that.
Okay.
The other thing the body needs in order to deal with infection is sufficient essential fatty acids. Can't say I'm drawn to sardines when I'm not well. I'm never drawn to sardines, but when I have them on my toast with lemon juice, I go, these are fine. I don't know what my problem is, you know, and sprinkle turmeric, because turmeric is always better absorbed with fats. All right. So which brings us on to the turmeric, which I put into the carrageen mainly. That's the main way that I put it in with the carrageen. Now, the heavy hitters is the mucotone, right? Over the years, I think I devised this for myself and everybody else finds it better as well. But for some people, I do use additional herbs. There's about 30 herbs I could use. We're well used to chestnut bronchitis in Ireland because it's such a damp environment that we have quite a lot of herbs. And then we bring some in from the outside as well. Sorry, that's lovely. That's lovely. 3 days ago, that would have led to total spasm. Okay, so that's very comfortable. So the mucotone has thyme, echinacea root, ginseng. Ginseng is very good for acute infections. It really kind of mobilizes the resilience that you have, unless you're at total burnout level, in which case a stimulant isn't useful, and I would do something else for you. And I recommend that you see a herbalist. Mallow, Iceland moss. Iceland moss and our carrageen do very similar jobs. So cat's claw, which is very good for the immune system. Licorice syrup. Again, when we're sick, we have a yen for something sweet that's nourishing and warm. All right. That would be more important before we were eating Kit Kats. These remedies go back to a time when hawthorn berries were considered sweet enough for a pie.
Wow.
All right. So it's lost a bit on us at the moment, but it's still a very good way for nourishing a body that's needing resilience to recover. Garlic. I forgot to put garlic in here because I don't tolerate it very well. Right. But for the rest of you, right, I want loads and loads of garlic in there. And then ginger. All right. I can take the little bit of garlic in this. So this is how I get it when I'm sick. But I'm not downing cloves of garlic. If you can down cloves of garlic, mushed up with, you know, turmeric and anything else that you want to put in with it, that is excellent. Right. So, and that's another one from the kitchen cupboard, which is good. Okay, the cherry juice is very good for spasms. It doesn't cure an infection, or it's an adjuvant for comfort and for easing out spasm in particular. And because of that, it's very good for sleep. There was one night I found it very difficult for us to sleep, and then I found this in the cupboard, and it was just so soothing. So it was a real aid. But I wouldn't use it in the absence of all of the other things to deal with the infective process and the inflammation system and all the rest of it. It's also very useful for children after they've had the whooping cough, or if they have an ongoing spasmodic cough, which isn't really doing anything, or even for adults in those circumstances, you know, where, you know, your body just is in the habit of coughing. And you keep coughing because of the habit rather than that the body has any really need to eliminate anything, because your cough is purposeful. I don't use cough suppressants because your cough is purposeful. It's a way of expelling all these microbes. All right. You'll also see that there's nothing in here to reduce a fever.
Why?
If you want to kill bugs, you boil them.
Ooh,
right.
Okay.
So the fever is a natural response to help deal with it's a healing. It's one of the healing resources. In older people, you might want to stoke a fever. You might want to really warm them up and give them ginger and turmeric and things that will warm them up Because one of the things as we age is we lose the ability to have a fever, which is why pneumonia is such a problem for older people. It looks a lot, but when you actually boil it down, right, heat it up. So being nice and warm and not drafty and all the rest of it is also very important. And sleeping, you know, sleeping is one of the ways of the body resting. I mean, I thought I was almost better after 4 days, and I got up, did a few things, went back to bed and slept for about 4 hours.
Wow.
Right. And it was just what my body needed. And I still slept that night, you know. So what's this one here? Right. Imicaps. This is what, when I finish all of this lot, I'll keep the most of this going for the next 3 or 4 days, right? I'll have a herb tea with all these things in it. I'll carry on with my mucotone. Oh, I forgot. It's three things that I forgot here. One is eucalyptus oil. Eucalyptus oil, this is Eucalyptus smithii, or whatever you have is, olivus oil is very good as well. I had that in my cupboard. The eucalyptus oil is probably my favourite one, and particularly this Eucalyptus smithii, because you can also use it as a chest rub in children. Any other eucalyptus, you might induce wheezing or spasm just because of its relative strength, whereas this is very good for children with asthma, the Eucalyptus smithii, and you can use it topically.
Like just a couple of drops?
Yeah, and then rub it nicely into both lung bases. Right. But also because it's very hard to use inhalations for children using hot steam because it's too dangerous. You know, they can tip it out. So this is a very good alternative to a steam inhalation.
That's a great tip.
So I should have brought my basin, you know, where I have the boiling water and the eucalyptus. I put in turmeric. I also put in some cloves and it do inhalations. And that's just very soothing. You know, the other thing that surprised Kat when I said about being unwell, I said, the only thing to do with being well is enjoy it. So it's kind of like, this is my body doing me a favor. It's what it needs to do. And I go to bed, I cancel everything. I canceled our podcast last week. I canceled 2 clinics. And I'm always, when that happens, I'm not really not well. But that's it. You go to bed and you go, right, the world carries on without me. And that's very nice. I mean, the coughing was very tiring and exhausting, and I couldn't read a lot. I watched a good few films and stayed nice and warm and cozy in bed. Yeah, that's good to me. Well, the other tip for children with the garlic is you get a clove of garlic, split it in two, and the bit that has the severed surface with the glistening garlic oil, you rub it into the soles of their feet and their hands.
Yeah, you've said that before.
Because that way it's absorbed, and you know you have the right amount of the saturation amount of garlic when your breath smells of garlic and your sweat smells of garlic. So for those of you who can tolerate, there's a small group of people who can't tolerate a lot of garlic because it makes them queasy and upsets their tummy. And the same goes with any of this. If there's something, you know, if something, I can't think of anything else that would, I mean, ginger is usually well tolerated. Everything else is very well tolerated. But there is something that doesn't suit you. Well, then you just kind of go, well, I'll do something else. I could do all the rest of the things.
You can remove it and yeah, something. Oh, yeah, yeah. Is there anything in your little box there?
Oh, yes. This is a eucalyptus chest cream.
Ah.
Which is, again, particularly good for children and for older people. And what you do is you get put the cream and rub it in to the chest wall on both sides. Most pneumonias settle in the bases of the lungs. So at the back, you rub it right into both of those lung bases.
Right.
All right. All of this is for self-limiting diseases. Right. If at any time you are sick beyond what one would usually expect and you have a fever which is going through the roof and not coming down and you're coughing up green phlegm, or you have any underlying condition like asthma, bronchiectasis, COAD, the chronic bronchitis kind of things, or if it persists for longer than the usual 4 to 7 days, any of those things. And particularly if you're a diabetic, you need to be careful with any syrup medicines if you're a diabetic. So there's all of the usual, the vast majority of people exposed to viruses don't get sick. A small proportion do get sick. Of those, the vast majority, it's a self-limiting illness. Of those where it's not a self-limiting illness, you need to seek medical advice.
Great. And also, I just wanted to say that, you know, if you wanted to go into the shop or go speak with your herbalist doctor, just to kind of get ideas of, you know, like making your little recipe there of your different things that you get, so you can try things out and see if they work for you or not, and to help you out as best you can, you know, with a lot of that.
If you have underlying problems, or like me, you have recurring problems, you're advised to make an appointment with a medical herbalist just to find the herbs that are most suitable for you individually. All right. There's lots of things our clinic offers. We have online appointments. We have a dispensary service, so that even if something isn't in the catalogue that's on in the shop, you can phone and ask, do you have? Because I love it when people do their own research and go, oh, I think I like the sound of this, that or the other. And you can get 50 grams or 100 mils or whatever, and try it out for yourself. Make your own, knock yourselves out, guys. Make your own blends and combinations. The other thing we can do is, we do a dispensing service for other medical herbalists. So if you have a medical herbalist and they want to dispense an individualized blend for you, we can do that as a service to both of you. But I think mostly, and that's for the UK and Ireland and the rest of the EU, right, which is relevant. We're so lucky in Ireland and the UK because medical herbalists can practice here, because we are under a system of constitutional law. Whereas on the continent, you cannot, and in the United States, there are many more restrictions on being a herbalist.
Wow, I never
saw. Make sure you have your medical herbalist in your list of who to go to. That's what. And after you finished reading my book on uprooted medicine, it explains the history of why it's a perfectly reasonable and viable. It hasn't disappeared because it didn't work. You know, the science paradigm has only come in the last 80 years, whereas herbal medicine has been disappearing for about 250 to 300 years. So, and there's a lot that's happened even before the current pharmaceutical stranglehold on a monolithic system of medicine. Don't start me, Katrina. Don't start me.
Not today.
All right. I think this is all about self-empowerment.
Yes.
Looking after yourself and your family from a community medicine base and relieving the pressure on antibiotics.
Exactly.
So that your doctor doesn't need to prescribe them. All right.
And it's also given yourself a chance to try these things as well if you haven't tried them before.
Yeah, there's hardly a household in the world that doesn't have recurrent respiratory infection.
Yes, of course.
So this is a great one to try. Now, other people's cupboards, this is my kind of Achilles heel. Other people will have skin problems as their Achilles heel. So there's also an introductory, there's also a free introductory course on herbal medicine on our website, which has slightly different blends. We had to change them in order to register them with the but the information is still valid.
But it's good for somebody like me or the listener out there who's new to this kind of stuff, who wants to learn about it. It's great. It's a great resource to have. Thank you very much, Dilys.
I'm delighted to be here feeling so well.
And we're so happy to have you. I'm so happy to have you today. I'm definitely going to be making my own blend now of stuff. And we look forward to talking with you the next time. And thank you, Dilys. We really appreciate it. And we'll talk to you soon.